Good morning, welcome to the game room. We are on our way to work, because that's the only time I seem to be able to record when I'm not at my machine. So, got some exciting news. I ended up going to Round 1 Arcade outside of Seattle last weekend and spent about 6 hours with Tekken 7. It's not FR, it was not Fatal Retribution, it was just 7.0. So it was vanilla Tekken 7. Very cool game. I am going to have to agree with the movement on it. The movement is kind of sluggish. But I know that they fixed a lot of that in FR. So we have a lot to look forward to for the release, hopefully in March. We'll see. That's what I was told by some guys there, is that supposedly it's slated for March. We'll see. Had a lot of fun though. They had Banna passes available for purchase, so I've got a Banna pass and I've got the lanyard to hold all that shit in, and I'm ready to go, man. I'm ready to play as much as I possibly can because it's a lot of fun. Ended up getting some games in with Colton, who's probably the best Steve player in the Northwest. He was there for a little while at least, and I got a couple wins, thank God. It was fun. In this game, Steve and Law are probably the worst matchups in the whole game together. Like, Steve is at such a disadvantage because of his, you know, because of Law's punch parries, and because of some of his moves can't really be punished by Steve effectively, so it really makes him play, you can play a lot riskier with Law and get good shit, so that's an awesome thing for me because I need all the help I can get against Colton because Colton's super good. We played with Monstroso. We played with a couple other guys over there that I think are in the community, but I haven't played with them yet because they're, you know, further away. But a lot of fun. Played some really good Dragunov matches. Played some really good Ling Zhao Yu matches. And Paul is absolutely ridiculous in the game. His back 1-2 is safe on block, does shit tons of damage. It's now his tailspin move instead of his bound move, because they got rid of bound, basically. Bound is only in the game off of basically hard, non-techable splat attacks. So, for example, Law still has forward, 4-3, which is sun and moon. He still has the move. It still bounds. But if you do it in the middle of a combo or a juggle, it will not give you more hits. It won't bound. It only bounds if you just hit it at the beginning as like a launcher. So you can still use it for that. It's still used as like a good wake up or long range like whiff punish tool, but otherwise you can throw out the first hit and it's still safe on block, but throwing out the second one's gonna get you killed. I had a couple guys asking me that couldn't make it out there, what's going on with the movement? How does the movement work? It's really hard to explain. It's almost as if your characters are fighting in mud. Like, and I don't mean like sexy mud wrestling. I mean like it's like they're in molasses. They're slow. Their sidewalk and sidestep is a lot shorter than in previous games. Like, if you compare it to Tekken 6 or Tekken Tag, it's got to be like only 3/4 the distance is what it feels like to me. Which is kind of sucks. And the moves in the game, even ducking jab, seems to have a much wider hitbox, and it seems like your characters orient themselves way easier. And I think it's because of the slowed down movement, you're able to, you know, track a little better. So like, I've seen people beating sidesteppers and sidewalkers with simple jabs and duck jabs, and it's like, wait a minute, how does that work? Other moves, like especially throws, seem to have a much wider hitbox, and I think they did that because they simplified the throw break system, which was news to me. I didn't realize it until I started talking with a couple players there, and it turns out they kind of slowed down they didn't slow the moves down, but they opened the window up for breaks, and they also simplified the break windows to where the standard throws, which are normally broken with one or two, are now universally broken with one or two. You don't have to pick the right limb to break. And I think by doing that, they kind of sped the throws up a little bit. But the window to break is a little larger, it seems. Like, I was literally mashing out breaks. Like, Now, there are some characters like King and the Marduk character, whatever the hell his name is, where their throws are still the same way they used to be. You have to break them a certain way, and they seem to have just retarded reach. Like King, he could hit some of his double button break throws, his special throws, from a lot further, and you don't whiff nearly as often as you used to. Like, the only time you whiff with King now, at least in 7.0, it seems is like when their arms and hands physically do not touch the other player at all. If they totally whiff, then it's okay. But if just their hands touch, it used to be that you'd get like a blue guard spark, kind of like if you blocked a move, you get that. In this game, you don't have that. If his player model or his hitbox touches any part of you and you're neutral, you're gonna get thrown, and makes him really good. Like, it makes him really, really good. And I think they made his air throws, because of that, they made his air throws a little more forgiving for his combos. Because it used to be like you had to do Giant Swing or Instant Shining Wizard like really, really tight to get the combos for max damage. And now it seems like it's simplified a little bit. So, very good. Paul has a couple other things. Like, it's stupid. Like, his Death Fist is essentially his absorb move now. So, and back 1+2. Back 1+2 is like his new juice, because it absorbs. So it's almost like a Sabaki, but the way the game works now is you have like power crushes, and they're annotated with a P in the move list on the machine itself. And like, for example, Paul's is 1+2 and back all at the same time, and it used to be his like somewhat tracking like double fist charge. Like, he just charges at you with his hands. And, you know, it's mid, does great damage, awesome, used to be safe in the old game. Well, now, well, maybe it wasn't safe. I think it was, like, it wasn't bad, though. It was, like, minus 12 or something. Well, now, it's almost like a Sabaki. And what happens is if they throw out any moves at you, your character absorbs it, takes the damage as counter hit, but just keeps going. And it seems like every time you get hit by a move, while your move is going to contact them, it does more and more and more damage bonus for you. So, like, I caught Laws's Dragon Cannon, which I think is stupid. They give you this nice long-range absorb move. It's 443, and I had a guy who was just mashing with Lucky Chloe, and I went with that shit, and I threw it out near the wall, and it didn't hit the wall, but it splatted them into it after they were done mashing buttons. And I think I got hit 3 or 4 times and then hit them, and it had to have done like 100 damage. It was ridiculous. At least 75. It did like 3/4 of their life bar almost. And yeah, I got hit too, but I got hit for like 1/4 of that. So, you know, really interesting. Super moves, the what are they, whatever they're called, I don't know, Rage at Arts or whatever. Yeah, they're cool looking. I landed them a few times on people, but ultimately it's like, meh. You know, I can see why they added, like, Charge Arts or whatever the hell, like, Rage Arts. It's basically, they have EX moves in FR. And the EX moves basically usually are safe, depending on the character, of course. They usually have a lot faster initiation. Like, their startup frames are a lot faster. Some of them juggle when they normally don't. They look pretty cool. I think Laws is like Dragon Tail the flip kick, and it makes it safe or something. It's ridiculous, and I haven't played with it yet because it's not in this machine yet. But very cool. I really had a good time. Round one is a very clean, like, professional atmosphere. I liked it. They had full service bar. They had a restaurant in there. They got a 20 or 30 lane bowling alley. It was a lot of fun. You can totally lose yourself in there. And even if you don't like fighting games, they had so much other stuff in there. Like, they must have had probably 15 or 20 different fighting games in there. And it was awesome. It was really cool. A lot of fun. What else? The levels were really cool. I think some of the stages were cool. There's a couple levels that I liked. Like, one was like the old Destroyed Highway Bridge level. But the thing they added, which I kind of liked, is when you hit the ground or your opponent hits the ground, the concrete ripples. Like, you're so strong that you're making the concrete ripple, which is kind of cool. You know, it's I know it's kind of silly. It was just a cool cosmetic thing they did. What else? it was just, man, I was just taking it all in. It was really cool. There's a couple things I didn't like, and hopefully they fixed it in FR. Number one is the movement and the way the moves track, because it seems like some of the tracking moves in the game, they're not really as useful as they were in 6 or Tag, because you can't rely on them to be your moves that you have to throw out that are safe and hit tracking, like for Law example. Like, I don't necessarily need to throw out back 3 unless I'm doing some sort of juggle or something that does the tail spin. Otherwise, I'm not really going to use it, like, or DSS 3 at least. But the point is that the move tracks, but it's not really useful. Like, I can do other moves that are faster and better that track, you know. What else? I don't know. Like, I think the way the wall works now, I understand why they did it in 7.0, but since you can't bound at the wall for more damage, like, there's really no point for some characters to even push to the wall. Like, wall carry is still a thing. It's definitely important for pressure and other things and to make mix-ups happen. But at the same time, it's like, if you can't, like, for example, Law, if I'm not getting DSS Dragon Cannon at the wall, like, 4-3 DSS 3 at the wall or Legend Kick at the wall, like, I really am limited on my damage output options other than setting up for Oki, which is viable. Like, you can do it in this game, no problem. But it just seems strange, because you figure that the wall should be important, and it just seems like it's mitigated a little bit. It's not nearly as important as it was in T6 or in Tekken Tag 2. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, I'm sure people just haven't figured everything. At least I haven't figured everything out yet. I know people have been playing this game for almost 2 years, so, you know, it is what it is. I'm just kind of a scrub, I guess. But, let's see. Paul's Juice, he's super good. Like, if you like Paul, he's, like, your go-to character now, because he's just stupid good. Like, his target combo is so easy, too. It's like down 4-2 or hop kick or whatever your launcher is, right? Back 1-2, deep dash, instant, like, death fist. And it's stupid. Like, if you catch it close where you're right on top of him and you get, like, the clean hit animation, it blows him to the wall. It does shit tons of damage. It's just stupid. And it's not a difficult combo. Like, I'm sure you can do other stuff, but whatever. Also, his down back 2 is super good. It's like the second hit, or it's like the third hit of his sway back 3 2 1 string, or sway back 3 1 2 string, whatever it is. So it's this wicked huge, like, power fist, this huge swinging hook that is safe on block. Like, they just gave him lots of good shit that's safe. He's nasty. Like, I'm probably gonna start playing with him a lot more, because I liked him in Tekken Tag, but now he's just even more beastly. Like, he literally can kill you in, like, 2 hits. Like, if it's counter hit, you're done. Like, ugh. Law, in this version of the game, Law didn't have his 14-frame launcher. That's an FR. But that's going to be stupid, because there's so many moves in this game that are, you know, minus 14 on block that, ugh, God. And the move's going to have so much range, because it's essentially ab cruncher, but you're adding a third kick to it at the end that tail spins. So, I mean, ugh. And you're going to be able to do more stuff with it too, because being able to use that in your juggles, if it works the way I think it does, you'll be able to do, like, down 4-2, 4 up 4-3, deep dash cancel to 3 plus 4, 4, which is going to do your tail spin. Then, like, a single dash into DSS 4th, or I'm sorry, Just Frame 4-3 DSS Legend Kick. And that'll take them to most walls in the game, and it'll do roughly 80-90 points of damage. It's going to be stupid. And then you got the wall. So you're probably looking at close to 100 points if you get them to the wall. It's, ugh, if that's how it works. We'll see, but pretty sure that's how people are using it right now. You can always look it up, but it's going to be interesting. His DSS 4 is a new move in this game, and I'm sure it's in the next game too. But it's kind of useful. It's a good poke. It's faster than the old one is, like, when it comes to actual inputs, and the recovery, I think, is a little better. I think it is punishable. I think it's minus 12, maybe a little more. Maybe it's minus 13. I'm not sure. does pretty good damage. I think it causes knockdown on counter hit, which is great for Oki options. It's a really good wake-up tool, but I would much rather use down back three for that. And it doesn't really track like down back three does. So, you know, it's just another thing. You know, it's another cool move out of DSS. I wish they still had the medium launching hit afterwards, because I feel like if you could hit confirm that, that would be super, super good and super useful for DSS mix-ups. But he's still got good stuff. I'm happy with it. They changed some of his simple jab strings. It used to be that just 2-2 would put you in back turn. It's now 2-back-2. They added that back motion. It's just something you got to get used to, because to do like Rave War combo, which used to be 2-2-1-2, it's now 2-back-2-1-2. And now his 2-forward-2 string is just 2-2. So his jab, his right jab to medium like punch to the chest is just 2-2 now. So it's simplified. So that makes your poke game a little easier, I guess. But you know, they didn't have to change it. I don't know why they did. I think it was just something they needed to do to make him a little different. Make people have a harder time with him for like the first 10 minutes, because it's really not that big of a deal, you know. But let me get through the gate here. We will be right back with you guys. All right. So we were talking about Tekken 7. Kind of just going all over the place, man. It's a very cool game. The graphics are a lot better. If you've never, you know, if you haven't seen it yet, you've been living under a rock. America definitely got the shaft when it comes to that. And that's really what I wanted to talk about, besides the game itself, is just the problems that we have with, you know, localizing releases when it comes to arcade games, especially fighting games and shooting games, is just profoundly dumb. Like, I understand, and I've done this before, I've had previous podcasts covering arcades and stuff a little bit, but I mean, I understand that arcades aren't a huge moneymaker here like in Japan and in some parts in Europe, but or in Korea even. But the problem I have with it is that if you don't localize, especially competitive fighting games, not only in your key home country like Japan or Korea, that has a vibrant fighting community, if you single people out and there's no, I mean, like Tekken 6 is a great example. There was only a handful of players that even got their hands on Tekken 6 until the game was actually released on console. And it's the same thing that's happening now with T7. You have people now that are clamoring for Tekken 7. You have players that are interested in the game that would definitely pay up to $1 a game to play it, to try it, to see if they like it. And they're basically being told, oh, well, you'll get it on console. Well, it's been 2 years now almost that it's been out in the arcades in other countries, and they have such a huge lead now in the competitive scene. It's like going to a racetrack and being told you have to race another car, but they have 4 laps ahead of you. It's like you're so far behind that is it even worth putting your time and effort into, you see? It's stupid. It's just a stupid thing. I know it's not like the best example, but you know, it is what it is. I guess the point I'm trying to say is that Namco should really think about a cheaper way to localize these cabinets so that we have, because I think part of the issue they have is their network infrastructure. Their network infrastructure and like Sega Channel and Sega Net and a couple other machines out there have these network infrastructures that they use to track like wins and losses, and to track like what swag items you have on your characters and your player name and, you know, the Banna passport and all that stuff. And, you know, I get it. I understand that if you don't have the server side, it's difficult to deal with. But there's got to be a way for them to do it that is not that much more of a cost for the company. And they would make more profit, I feel. I mean, now, I'm not a business owner. I don't know exactly how Namco Bandai does all their stuff. You know, and I don't know. I'm just a guy that plays the games. But I feel like we would have a much better community for the game if they had the game localized here, rather than waiting till it comes out on console, missing out on all the slow developments of the characters through the different versions and iterations of the game, to learn how they tick, what their you know, strats are, what their pluses and minuses are, their weaknesses and strengths, and then slowly moving through the updates, getting to where the game's going to be a consoleized version of the game and being able to jump right in and be ready to go. Instead, we're going to be people that are just kind of wandering around in the dark unless you put in a shit ton of research and extra stuff ahead of time to you know, you basically have to work twice as hard to get absolutely no payoff because you're waiting for a game to come out that's not here. But if you went and got in a plane and went to Japan or Korea or somewhere else, you could literally walk into any arcade or any mall and they probably have it, like, with dust on it, because people are probably aren't even playing 7.0 anymore. They're playing FR, you know? Like even if Namco did some sort of rollout where it was like, okay, the game's been out for 6 months to a year, we're announcing a sequel or an update. If any of these arcades want to sell their machine back, we'll buy it and then localize it somewhere else. Like, that would be super easy. I mean, all it is an old Tekken 6 cabinet. That's what we have. We have a Tekken 6 cabinet, you know, with, it's all beat up. Like, the buttons are sticking, and it's just a piece of shit. They got them all beat up, but they just put in the new hardware. They put in the new computer and the hard drive, and you've got Tekken 7. So it'd be super easy for them to just reconstitute the machines that aren't being used in other countries. Hell, keep it Japanese. I don't care. I don't care. I'll figure it out. I hit a button and my guy punches or kicks. It's too easy. It's not that complicated, you know? But, you know, that's my little rant about that. I feel like there's much better ways. And if anyone has any ideas or any reasons why they don't localize it, I mean, I know the biggest issue is probably money. You know, there's just not a huge market here like there is in Japan. I mean, the foot traffic in Japan is like 100 times more in arcades there than it is here. But I was actually really happy about the round one experience. There was a lot of people there. Granted, it was a Saturday night, but they're open till 2. It was really cool. It was really cool. I'm not advocating that we all have to go to round one. I'm just saying, if you're in Seattle or nearby Seattle or nearby Washington and you want to play and you haven't played Tekken 7 yet, go to round one's website and see if you can find where the machine is, because it was a lot of fun. It was really cool. But that's going to be it for now. I appreciate you guys listening. Be sure to check us out on the Game Room. We do a stream hopefully every weekend. I fell off the bus here a couple weeks ago, and I didn't stream because it was just too damn cold. So we're going to do that soon. What else are we going to do? I've been playing some other stuff too, but yeah, mostly it's just going to be Tekken. We might do some other stuff too. Check us out. We also have a YouTube channel under Michael Lorenz, which is my name. I also go by the Lefty, so that's my handle, is Lefty. But you can check us out at twitch.tv/thelefty with an underscore between the and Lefty. And thanks for listening, and subscribe to us and have fun.